Alrighty, welcome back to the show. The Throwback Thursday. I was trying to think earlier how long ago it was that Intern Boy was actually with me on the old show. And we got Luke Hetrick with us now, one of my favorite people in the whole world. What year was that? Was it about 7 years ago? Is that about how long it's been?
Well, this is where I know you're a happier person now because I can hear the comeback music.
Yeah.
And it's totally you. Like, we built this city as like a top 10 song, I feel for you.
I love it.
So now I know that you're really in your element.
The bumper music is that 7 years ago? Is that about right?
6 years ago at the most. Yeah, I would say.
When were you a senior at St. Francis?
I graduated in 14.
Yeah, so, good six and a half.
I think when I was in grad school for a year, I may have come back time to time, so at least 5 years.
Yeah. Luke is an example. I have not done it on this show yet. I used to have several shows before on how people get in this business. Now, we have older audiences, so a lot of you may not have kids who are looking to get into sports broadcasting, but you may have grandkids who are looking to get into sports broadcasting. And I've asked this of Luke many times before, but Luke took a very non-traditional route. He went to a school that is not really in any way known for sports broadcasting, St. Francis, but then busted his tail and went to a grad school at Sacred Heart to get the sports broadcasting experience that he needed. And then you went out and you pounded the pavement around the country, getting, you know, doing work to hone your craft. Explain to the people what it took for you. You're in Orlando now, but explain to the people how you go from St. Francis to Orlando.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate the kind words there. I'll Venmo you $20 here in a little bit.
Yeah, but, that's fine.
When I was at St. Francis, I started out as a nursing major because I was consumed with making money, and both of my parents and a lot of my family are in the healthcare field. So I initially went that route, realized I was going to hate it, and I'd probably kill someone as a nurse, not intentionally, but just based on my skill alone. But I figured out when I was at St. Francis, this is what I wanted to do. I didn't want to transfer because I really enjoyed the school. And fortunately, I was able to get a lot of great direction from a lot of really good professors and advisors at St. Francis. And was I getting on-camera experience and a lot of things when I was up in Loretto? No. But what I got was a lot of opportunity through internships. I wrote for mainline newspapers up in Evansburg covering high school football. I was with you on the radio for at least a year and a half, and I think I was your first intern, and you gave me that opportunity. Now, you had taught me a lot, but I was very grateful to receive that and then went on to an internship at WJAC, but needed more on-camera reps, and that was the main thing to get the reel out. So I went to a grad school, did that for a year, and then afterwards hit the job market. We counted the job offers up that I've had in my career, and initially coming out, I had, I think, four or five offers, which I was very blessed to have, and then eventually chose a job in Macon, Georgia, which was the best thing for me. I'm not saying Georgia in general, but I'm saying for any young sportscaster or aspiring sportscaster, get out. Get out. Go see a different part of the country. Go see how different people do things, the impacts of different sports, different cultures. It's going to make you not just a better journalist. You're going to see things different. You're going to gain perspective, and it's going to make you a more well-rounded person and see the world in a different way. Because, Corey, you know this, and I think this is one of the reasons why you're so good at what you do and you offer so many different viewpoints and perspectives on things like Penn State football or Pirates baseball, whatever. You are not from here. Now, you've lived here for 20-plus years, but you're not from here. You've lived in a different part of the country. You see things for what they are. You're the outsider coming in. When you're in that bubble your entire life, a lot of times you're sitting too close to the trees to see the forest. And I'm not trying to be smart about people in central Pennsylvania, but get out. See things differently. and it helped me a lot with my perspective and how I view sports. So I'm very grateful for a lot of the people that I had along the way, including yourself, and very grateful to have the opportunities that I've been given.
If any of you out there didn't know or understand why Lou Ketrick is one of my best friends, what he just explained in the last 45 seconds is your answer. I'm a big believer that you have to branch out and find your own way in life and your own perspectives. I went from Arkansas to Virginia to Pennsylvania. Luke went from Pennsylvania to Georgia to Florida. And the bottom line is, when you have different perspectives and different backgrounds, you are going to see things differently. It's not better or worse. I'm not saying, and Luke's not saying, that the way Penn State fans or Pitt fans or Steelers fans who grew up here from birth, the way you see things is not wrong. But don't tell me the way that I see things is wrong because I view it from a different lens, not having grown up with it. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that 1,000%. And my mom has always told me this. This is something that she has instilled in me at a young age. If you want to end up in Altoona, Pennsylvania, that is fantastic. Now, I'm originally from the Harrisburg area. But if I want to end up in Altoona, Pennsylvania, if that's where I want to retire, if that's where I want to be, that is fantastic. But you owe it to yourself to see different things first. You owe it to yourself to get out because you may not have an appreciation for Altoona or Harrisburg or wherever you're from if you are just there your entire life. You know, it's that old saying, you never know how important something is until it's gone. Well, I've realized that there's a lot of valuable things back home in Altoona, but I needed to get out to see that. And I love going back and visiting, but my journey is not complete yet. And for me, that means my perspective, my ability to grow when I look at sports and how I view things and my opinions on different sports and life issues continue to evolve. So that does not mean my opinion is better, right, and yours is wrong. It's just different. And that's okay. And I think the biggest thing for me, Corey, is when you have a different opinion versus someone that's felt something one way their entire life, it's a little bit harder to have that conversation because the heels are dug in, because that's the only way it's known, and that's okay, that's fine. I've just, you know, had that experience a handful of times when I do try and discuss Penn State football with my close friends who have lived in the area their whole life and don't want to see anything a different way.
Got a text here from Eric in Clearfield. He says, intern boy.
Eric.
Good points. Guy. Why do you think there are so many? Well, I'm not going to. Eric immediately goes politics. But that's not what we're talking about here. But look,
in general. Eric was always the best.
In general, we're talking sports here. Luke Ketrick joining us, a Hollidaysburg native, now a sportscaster down in Orlando. We're talking sports here, but I do think that this translates to life in general. The more life experiences you've had, and look, you can have a ton of life experiences living in the same place, but the more life experiences you've had and different encounters with different kinds of people, different people of different cultures, people of different belief systems. One thing that has happened with our world, Luke, and I am going to go off on a little bit of a social tangent here, is one thing that a lot of people want to do now is only associate themselves with people of like beliefs. They don't want to have conversations with people who disagree about something. And we can keep it light about sports, but just in general, people don't want to challenge isn't even the right word. They just don't want to deal with or bother themselves with people who feel a different way or have a different perspective than we want to isolate ourselves in these comfort bubbles where our thoughts are not challenged, our opinions are not challenged. And as soon as somebody does challenge you or disagree, you're an idiot. You're stupid. I can't believe you would think that way. Well, if you would take a step back and try to realize where the other person is coming from, where they grew up, Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it a white person? Is it an African-American? Is it an older person, a younger person? If you try to put yourself in the shoes of whoever it is you're talking to about whatever it is you're talking about, maybe you could understand how they could come to a place in life where they see things the way they see it, even if it differs from the way you see it.
I agree 1,000%. Corey, we do a half-hour show every night. We have a small segment in that show. It's a two-minute blurb called Face-Off, and it is our version of a first-take, undisputed-like debate segment. And when people hear the word debate, it immediately goes to argument.
Yes.
And I, when I toss to it, you know, because it is a pre-taped segment, I'll say, so-and-so and so-and-so discuss. And I think that's the word that I prefer to use. I'm here for discussion. I think debate is a healthy word to have, but I think it has a connotation of anger, too many, you know, real opinions that are cutting and everything, you know, because unfortunately we live in a society where we love those screaming hot takes. You're wrong. I'm right. If you give middle ground, if you concede any type of thought, that means you've lost. You're a loser. The other person's the winner. They're in the all right, and you're wrong. And I don't want to have it like that. And that's just with the sports discussion. I'm here for a discussion. Let's have a talk. Let me see things. Let's grow. Because for me, when I say, no, I don't want to hear that, at 28 years old, Corey, that means I'm fine with where I'm at, and I'm done growing, and I don't have a need to grow anymore. You know, my dad is 65 years old, and he still will read things and look at things from different perspectives, because at 65, someone that's living in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania, he wants to be as well-rounded as possible, because he wants to see things from different perspectives that he can learn and he can grow. And I have always tried, since moving out, and it's not an attempt, but to be with people in that are different races, different ethnicities, different religious beliefs, backgrounds, whatever it may be, different socioeconomic statuses. Because I want to know. I want to learn. And that's going to make me a better person. Is that a little bit selfish? Maybe. But, you know, I'm opening myself up to a new world of new ideas, new thoughts, new opinions. And maybe it's going to make me a better person in the long run.
Yeah, that's really well said. And folks, I know this is a sports show, and maybe you're waiting for us to talk about sports, but I hope you can take something out of what we're talking about that's more important than sports. Here is a sports-related element that maybe a lot of you can relate to, or you know people who can relate to this. You had a pretty big disappointment in your career from a sports broadcasting standpoint. You were oh so close. Luke auditioned through a series of auditions to become a host on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Now, this was when you were still intern boy 6 or 7 years ago. And were you at Sacred Heart at the time or no?
I think it would have been going into my senior year.
Okay.
At St. Francis.
Okay, so Luke was a good young broadcaster at that point, still had a whole lot to learn and still had a lot of life experiences to learn. But I want everybody to think about this. You're 19, 20, 21-year-old. You got a chance, really, at what could have been the foot-in-the-door dream opportunity. Luke was a finalist, I believe. It was between you and one other person, a young woman named Stacy, who ended up winning the contest, and she ended up getting a gig on 93.7 The Fan. If you get that gig on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh at 21, 22 years old, how does it change your life?
I think it may, in the long run, may have limited my life, Corey. I'm sure there would have been a ton of good to come from it. I would have been doing radio in Pittsburgh with all the teams that I love and care about and the city that I love and where for a lot of years I wanted to end up. And it would have been an incredible experience for me. And I would have loved it. And I probably would have gotten a big head because I'm in a little comfort zone in my bubble being in Pittsburgh, which there's nothing wrong with. But that, to me, was the major leagues at that point in my life, at 21 years old. Then in hindsight, Corey, I may not have been able to continue to do the internship with you to where I could learn a different style. I would not have had the internship to to be on camera at WJAC in Johnstown, where I got my real reps. I may not have wanted to go into TV. I may not have wanted to go to Sacred Heart. I may not then, in turn, have been able to get my first job in Georgia, where I had unbelievable experience, met some of the best people in my life, and hopefully my future wife. You know, we're still together after 4.5 years because my career took me to Macon, Georgia. So you make the most of what you got. And I haven't really thought of that because it was so long ago, and I'm really starting to feel old about it, so thank you. But, you know, I'm sure my life would have been different, but and we always say we live life, you know, where we go, what if, what could have been? I don't have any regrets. Sure, I wonder what life could be like now if I would have done that. But I am very happy with where I'm at because I am maxing out who I am in the process.
Yeah. Lou Ketrick joining us, Hollidaysburg native, went to St. Francis and then, again, went on a different path in his career. I appreciate the discussion. Luke and I are always going to talk some college basketball, and that's what this was designed to be. I will ask you a question here in a second. But again, I just think a lot of this is so much more important than any sports subject we can think of. So if you're out there listening and you're wondering why we're talking about this or you think we're preaching to you, hey, look, what was your life like at 19, 20, 21 years old? Did you make a decision that changed your life forever? Did you have an opportunity that you thought would have changed your life forever, but you didn't get it? Did you have something that you loved that maybe you thought you loved at 19, 20, 21, and then you realized you loved something else? I mean, these are all very interesting topics. And again, I said 15 minutes ago, Luke is one of my best friends in the world. It's because we've traveled the same path in a lot of ways in life. Now, Luke is way better looking than me, which sucks. You know, because I got to look at you and I got to like, my gosh.
Not after the holidays when I put some weight on.
Okay. Luke is a far superior basketball player to me, which sucks. But Luke is a tremendous athlete. Gorgeous young woman that you're with. You're living life to the fullest down in Orlando. But the bottom line is, whatever your path is, you chase your path. And what you think your path might be at 18, 19, 20. When I moved here at 25 years old in 1999, no way in the world did I think I was going to be in Altoona, Pennsylvania, which I had never heard of for longer than 2 or 3 years. But then something happened on August 29th, 1999. I met Dana Knorr. She became my wife. Now we have great kids and a family here. And
love
I would
her.
I would never leave Altoona because that's the way life is. That you just never know what path it's going to take you on.
I agree 1,000%, and I love the perspective that you have, and I love your wife because she's fantastic.
Hands off. My wife has a huge crush on Luke. She always has, so I got to make sure there's no funny business going on here.
Hey, play your cards right when you come down to Orlando, Dana. We'll see what happens on your vacation.
I get to see Luke. We vacation in Orlando at Summer Bay Resort, and Luke will come down and spend some time with us. We'll make some dinner. Hey, before we let you go, because this is a great conversation, Byron from Florida, longtime listener, just texted me and said, great interview. And thanks, Byron. I really appreciate that. I want to get your thoughts on this specifically about college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to March. We have to get to the NCAA tournament because of the money. But between now and then, should we really be playing as many of these games as are probably going to be played? Or should all these conferences just say, we're going to try to play one game a week and maybe 10, 12 games between. Let's get to March and make sure everybody's okay.
I think that's probably the better option because – you know, I think we look at things so black and white with what the alternatives are. It's we keep playing and going at the rate we're at, or we shut it down and pause, which a lot of people have said, let's do that so we can protect the tournament. And let's, you know, maybe start back up in, you know, late January, early February. We have 6 weeks. We get to the tournament, whatever it may be, whatever the situation and how they want to design it. I think that is all well and good intention, but my thought there is, okay, if you're sending these kids home, is that the best thing? You're going to send them home for a couple weeks. A lot of these kids aren't going to have the equipment. They're not going to have the gym access. They're not going to have the training. They're not going to be able to go play. They're going to be sitting at home. And then you're going to bring them back cold. You're going to have to give them this ramp-up period where they haven't been doing much. You're going to also have to isolate them. You're going to have to test them. A lot of them are going to have to be in quarantine. And then within a week or two, they're going to have to train their bodies to try and get back into midseason. I think you're going to have a ton of injuries with that. I don't know how good the product's going to look, because at the end of the day, I don't think the product is going to matter as long as they get the tournament in for the money. But for the health and safety of the well-being of these kids, I think that's a real risk. I would say let's, like you're saying, one game a week, start to transition to conference only. How we decide bids and everything like that, I don't know if you're able to have a conference tournament then, Corey. Mm-hmm. It just might be you win the regular season, you're in. Because are you really going to say, hey, let's have a neutral site, or like in the NEC's case with St. Francis, every 4 days you're going to be traveling around, or a team's going to come into St. Francis, and then they got to go on the road to, you know, FDU, and then they got to go to Mount St. You know, are you going to be able to do that? Is that safe for kids? Probably not. So I think you're going to see the end of conference tournaments for this year and just protect the NCAA tournament at all costs, and doing it in one location, Indianapolis. Is that official yet? The news guy asked.
It's not 100% official. They are, I mean, that is the plan, but I don't think they've dotted all the T's.
I would say come on down to Orlando, but we didn't even get to go into the bubble. So it's kind of like having an amusement park in your backyard and not ever being able to go, which, I mean, it literally was for the 3 months the bubble was here. So I think you err on the side of caution here. You err on the safety of the players, but is putting it all to a stop and on a pause for a month, 6 weeks, 2 months, the best thing? I don't think that's the case either.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the coaches and the players will tell you they want to play. They if they're going to be there, they want to play.
College is going to be the safest place. It's likely going to be the safer option for these kids.
The problem is
sending them back home and then bringing them back.
Correct. The problem is the travel, though, when you go from one spot to another, to another, to another. And especially, look, we can all think that we're just talking about the big programs and everything like that, but St. Francis is paused right now. Little schools, you know, there are 357 Division I basketball programs, and I know people only care about 30 or 40 of them, but there are 357, and the smaller ones don't have the testing. They don't have all the resources, so I just really wonder how all of this is going to play out. I got to think at any given time there are going to be a lot of programs that are that are going to have to be paused here over the next month and a half.
And I made this point to you, and this is on a different subject, but I made this point to you the other day, just texting Corey. You know, there's a lot of opportunity for teams here. And I think Penn State has a real opportunity to capitalize because, as I said, these are little to no crowds at all. You know, no offense to Penn State, but they're, like you said, they're not playing in front of big crowds. And so this is an atmosphere that they're more accustomed to. And then on the other side, Penn State is guard heavy. You know, they don't have a lot of guys that they can throw the ball into the post and say, hey, go get a bucket. You know, I like John Herr and his energy, but that's not him. So they're very good at guard play, and it takes big guys a lot of time to develop. If there's going to be a pause, or you're going to limit the amount of game, outside of Luka Garza, are there really a ton of guys in the Big Ten that are good enough to say, hey, throw the ball inside, let's see if they can get a bucket? That development's going to take a lot of time. I think Penn State, it would not shock me if they finished inside the top eight in the Big Ten.
And if they do that, that's a trip to the NCAA tournament. Because
that's a trip to the NCAA tournament, and that's your new head coach right there.
That's exactly right. We're going to broach that subject more and more as we go on, because I do think if Penn State wins more than expected, Jim Ferry's going to have to get an opportunity. Hey, Luke, good catching up with you as always, man. That's a great discussion today. Really appreciate the time, Pat. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you for having me, bud. Always a pleasure to be on.
All right, good stuff. Luke Ketrick from Orlando, Florida. We'll take